Are they great? We're all hopefully having a great weekend. We're also wrapping up our series on the book of Revelation. And today we've got all ages in together. You know, usually these holiday weekends we're a little lighter on the ground in terms of attendance, so we're all in together today. That means, you know, maybe a little noisier than normal, which is totally okay. And it also means that if you feel, if you've got a younger child and you feel, you know, you just want to give them a little bit more space, we have what we call a wiggle room, which is over here in room 202. And you can just head out there at any point during the service if you'd like to do that. There's going to be a high degree of tolerance for a bit of noise, though, so if, don't be embarrassed about noisy children. But if you feel you need to get out there, please do head out to room 202. Okay, so everybody's really welcome. We're going to pray before we get started. So there's a prayer that's going to appear up on the screen. Amen. Okay, well, as I was saying, we've been, over the last few weeks, looking at the book of Revelation. And we've been doing that here in the sort of adult place, the auditorium, and people who, of younger ages, teenage, well, not so much the teenagers, but the younger children in elementary ages and below that even have been looking at the book themselves. And we're going to hear a little bit later about how that's been going and what our, the children in our community have been discovering and exploring. Revelation, just to kind of recap, Revelation is a book about hope and evil. It's a book that addresses the fact that bad stuff happens in the world. And bad stuff happens to us, bad stuff happens through us, bad stuff's happening that has actually nothing to do with us whatsoever. And the book tries to explain what's really going on, what the real problems are to do with evil in the world. The book also, though, talks about hope in the fact that we can follow a way that would lead us away from evil. Not just that we would then feel like we're better than anybody else, but in a way that means the world would be transformed. Firstly, that we would be transformed, that we would become better people, that we would become more like Jesus. That's what the book's really about. And not only that, that we would be, play a role in society, play a role in the world, play a role among our friends, among our families, among the people we know, and even among the people we don't know, that would result in good things happening, that would result in good overcoming evil. And the person who wrote the book, all we really know about the person that wrote the book was that he wrote it getting on for 2,000 years ago, and his name was John. When he wrote this book, he really described a vision that he had. He saw things that not everybody else could see. And I think that's kind of a little bit confusing for us. You know, as we've been looking at that as adults in this room, we've recognized that it's a difficult book to understand because he describes things that are very unusual. You know, he talks about a big dragon with seven heads and ten horns, and a beast that comes out of the sea that looks a bit like a leopard, a bit like a bear, a bit like a lion, etc. He describes all this really strange imagery. It's almost like a dream. I don't know if you've ever had a very bad nightmare of things like that. He's having this vision, a dream, if you like, of what's really happening in the world. And it doesn't mean necessarily that there's really a dragon or there's really a beast, but he's seeing evil for what it is. And he's seeing hope for what it is. Because sometimes we can miss that point. For instance, we can all feel very comfortable. You know, we could be quite well off. You know, we have plenty of money, plenty of comforts, etc. And we can think everything's fine. But it's not necessarily true that everything's fine, because everything might not be fine for somebody else. So John helps us see things that we don't necessarily see ourselves. He also talks about forces that are at work. That we maybe don't see so clearly. Like, it's not easy for us to see hatred. We maybe see it occasionally expressed in when people are unkind to each other, but maybe there's a sort of a force of hatred that causes things like racism and hatred towards groups of people, or even hatred towards groups of individuals. And John is helping us see those things. Now, just for a second, I wanted you to look at some pictures that I think help illustrate the fact that we don't see everything really clearly, necessarily. Maybe I'll get my point here. So look, what do you see when you look at that? Anybody? What? You know,
two faces facing each other.
Okay, two faces facing each other. Does anybody see anything different, though? Yeah. What do you see there? Chalice. A chalice. okay? Or, you know, some people said a chess piece or something like that. You know, but you see that? So if you look at it as though the white thing is what we're looking at, it looks like a chalice or a vase or a vase, as some people say. Or you could say, no, it's two people facing each other. You see, if you look at it dark, so, you know, there's more than meets the eye to that picture. Let's look at another example of this. What do you see there? What does anybody see? This is a very famous picture. Anybody see anything there?
An old lady.
An old lady. Who sees an old lady? Who sees a young lady? Okay, most people see the young lady, okay? If you look at it like, imagine there's a young lady who's got her back towards us looking into the distance with a nice little hat on. You can see that there's a little nose there, you know, delicate nose. Okay, and there's her eye just there. We can't quite see her eye. But on the other hand, if you look at that as an eye, and this whole thing here is a nose, and this is a mouth, not a necklace, it looks like an old lady, right? So these are what are called optical illusions. So sometimes we think we're seeing something, but we're not seeing everything. Let's look at another example of this. I think this is a great one. Okay, this is from the Eiffel Tower. What do you see there apart from the Eiffel Tower? Anybody see anything more than the Eiffel Tower?
Face.
Yeah. There's a face there. Right. Do you think there's really a face there? Okay, but it looks like a face. I mean, you're right. There's a face. We're seeing something that might even not be there. I mean, it's not even real, but we're seeing something because it kind of looks that way. So I think this is what John is getting at. He's saying there's more to life, there's more to the universe than necessarily meets the eye. So when we're struggling, when we're in difficulty, when we're hurting, John is saying, don't give up. Don't give up doing good. Don't give up following Jesus. Because there's more to this than meets the eye, and his whole book is about that. He's also saying that when you're tempted to give up, when you think that, okay, a bit of unkindness is okay, or a bit of selfishness is all right, or I'm gonna, you know, a bit of greed, you know, here and there, it'll be okay. He's saying, no, because there's a lot more to life than meets the eye. Let's just wrap this up with a couple of, I think, more tricky ones. Let's look at this. What do you see there? Anybody see anything there? A Doppler effect, okay.
Face.
Anybody see straight lines? Black and white lines, okay. Anybody see a face there? Okay, everybody shake your head. Look at it and shake your head, quick. Who do you see? Who do you see? John Lennon, right, that's a picture of John Lennon right there. And actually, I can see it more clearly on that one from this angle, actually. But can everybody see John Lennon? John Lennon is not in the book of Revelation, just to be clear. Some interpreters might maintain he was an antichrist figure. You know, some people might say that, but I don't think John Lennon was. He was a good man. So if you shake your head, you can see John Lennon. Okay, is there something there that you can't immediately see? What about this one? I think this is even trickier. Who can see roses there? Can anybody see a heart shape? Okay, look at it and go cross-eyed for a little bit. I'm going to try it from up here. It's a 3D image. Can anybody get it? I got it. Anybody see the hearts?
It's much harder when it's on a screen than when it's on a page in front of you, actually, because you have to go so boss-eyed. But
anybody see the heart shape there? Yeah? Hands up if you can see the heart shape. It's just a human being. Okay. Let's do one more, right? Let's look at this one. What do you see there? A nice purple shape.
Yeah.
You've got to look at it with two eyes. Yeah, okay. Anybody see a bird there? Yeah, okay, well, has anybody looked at these 3D images before? Anybody? Yeah, so it's a lot easier actually when you're... We'll forget that one. It's a lot easier when things are in front of you. On the page. But the whole point being, we can look at things and not actually see what's there. And we can look in a deeper way, like looking at these 3D images, and suddenly a new picture emerges. Or we can look at the Eiffel Tower and the scenery behind it, and suddenly we see a face. It's as though there's a bigger reality out there than what we see ourselves. And I think that's a big part of what John is getting at, is saying, okay, we see and we think we understand everything, we see the world clearly, we understand the universe clearly, but really there's other realities, and he's calling our attention to those. When we, towards the end of the service, we'll touch on this a little bit more a little later. Okay, one thing we're going to do now is just pray again. And what we're going to pray about is the situation going on right now in Syria. As many of you know, there's lots of really bad stuff happening in Syria. Stuff that I think we could, without pointing the finger at any particular groups, because everybody has different political opinions, there's what people are dying due to evil acts in Syria. So this is kind of topical in terms of what we've been looking at in the book of Revelation. So there's lots of decisions that need to be made about how to respond to that. And sometimes responses to evil can be evil, and responses to evil can be good. So it's kind of tricky. And if you're in a situation where you've got to make decisions about this, you're under a lot of pressure. And, you know, I've got to honestly say I'm glad I don't have to make those kinds of decisions. But that's kind of an easy way out. So we're going to pray right now for the people in Syria and also for the people who are having to make decisions about what to do about that situation. Okay, so why don't we all just stand up together? And I'm going to pray, but we're kind of all joining together for a very real situation that people are in, and, you know, people who are experiencing suffering and who are potentially experiencing a lot more suffering. As we've noted in the book of Revelation, the people that John was writing to were suffering a lot. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we seek your kingdom, as we pursue your love and goodness in this world, as we seek to be agents of hope and goodness that would overcome evil. And God, it's very easy for us to point out evil in other people and point out evil in other situations. But we know, God, that that work needs to start first and foremost in us. It needs to start in me. I need to be changed. I need to be transformed. And in that light, God, we come to you humbly and recognize that everybody involved in the situation in Syria, everybody involved in governments around the world that are debating what to do about that situation, about the war going on there, are human beings who are themselves caught up in this struggle between good and evil, between despair and hope. So God, we just ask that your love, your hope, your goodness would come into that situation. We pray for peace in Syria. Lord, we pray for an ending to the fighting, an ending to the bombings, an ending to the death and destruction. Lord, we ask and pray for peaceful solutions, solutions that will not result in people being destroyed, that will not result in people's lives being broken apart. And God, we pray that you would help leaders around the world, and we pray for the leaders of this nation as they debate and decide and work out what to do about Syria, how they should respond. Lord, we pray that you'd give them great wisdom and humility and insight. Lord, we pray that they would be able to lay down necessarily their own political views and put the people of Syria first and what the outcomes would be for those people. And again, God, we pray for peaceful solutions, solutions that don't result in death, that don't result in destruction. Only you can do that, God. We ask that you would work something incredible in that situation. Lord, we're just a few people here. We're not even all that important, but we believe that you hear our cries. So come, Lord Jesus, as the writer of Revelation says, come, Lord Jesus, let your peace come. Let the river of life flow out to all the nations of the earth. May the leaves of the tree of life bring healing to the nations, as that book says. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you.
All right, very, very cool. Hi, my name is Brian. I'm the pastor of children and youth here. And again, welcome to this All Ages Together service. This is a bit of a modified one because in a little bit, we're going to have preschoolers, elementary kids, middle school students, high school students, all are going to head out of here. And we'll find you after the service. We're gonna go outside. So feel free to hold in your wiggles. You can wiggle now, or you can wiggle in about 20 minutes or something like that. And we will enjoy that. We do have a wiggle room officially with a live feed in the nursery today. And then infants and toddlers at any point, and their parents ideally would go with them, can hang out in there, and we've got the TV that you can see what's going on in here as well. We're going to take a very brief look this morning at some of the things that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks and over the month of August in connection with this series. But before we do that, I wanted to just mention that something that has been different about this summer in our children and youth ministries. And the complexity of this was added just a little bit, but Steve Mather is here in the house today, and Violet is resting on his lap. I was gonna see, Violet, do you think you could sit up for just a minute and have your dad come up here for a sec? All right. For the first time in about like a decade and a half, Steve has not been leading children or youth or high school here at Cedar Ridge. Back in June, Steve decided to retire from high school ministry after umpteen years. Been on staff for some of that time, worked with littler kids some of that time, and spent the last several years leading our youth, and especially senior high. So this is really the first good opportunity we've had to be all together and to just thank Steve for everything. As the video and as our series says, this is not the end for Steve. He's still a young retiree. He still has a passion for our students and for younger kids here and involved in the lives of people here at Cedar Ridge. But we just want to celebrate and thank you for the many years and the energy and the love that you've poured into the kids and to the students here at Cedar Ridge. So thank you, Steve. High school ministry is in good hands, though Jason Flo, Jessica Lead, and Derek Harworth are providing some leadership. Very excited to be working along with Trish and the middle school team. So good things are happening, but we will obviously miss Steve's week-to-week involvement in that. We have, as many of you have heard, especially in the elementary group, have been looking at the book of Revelation as well. And you might think, seriously? what's that all about? We figured, well, why not? We talk about the great big story of God and what God has been doing throughout the world. And really the end of that story, as we see it in the scripture, really we don't have much of a chance to talk about that. And seeing that, that it's kind of the end, but it's also the beginning. And so we figured, let's just spend some time digging into that a little bit. And we were pretty selective in how we handle that. But we started out by saying, Revelation is probably the weirdest book in the Bible because of all these images. And we asked our children just to draw some pictures of some descriptions that we had given that we find in the book of Revelation. And so you're going to see some of their artwork up here. You'll see some of them posted around on the walls. And so we talked about how the symbols are really symbols that give us, again, some pictures of other things and representing some other things. So you see some really cool artwork that talked about. And we talked about how this, in many ways, is a little bit more like some of this of Revelation, a little more like Star Wars or Monsters University or something like that, as opposed to what we might find in the scriptures. But we talked about how those different kinds of books of the Bible make up God's message for us. And then we moved on to The second week we talked about letters from Jesus. And we looked at those letters to the seven churches, but then trying to imagine, what if Jesus wrote a letter to us? And we kind of followed that track. Is there something that Jesus would say to you that say, I'm really proud of you. I'm so happy about this in your life. And then maybe an element of if I could have you stop doing one thing, what might that be? And then an affirmation of, you know what, I am going to be with you all the time. So hang in there and keep at it. And so we encourage children to write their own letters from Jesus as Jesus did to these churches. And then I think one of the favorite weeks that we had was talking about villains and victory. And we talked about as many villains as we could think of, and then said about how the scriptures in Revelation talks about some of this villains and what would evil be in the world. But the good news that we focused on was the fact that Jesus overcomes all of that, and how as we align ourselves with Jesus and that victorious through sacrifice effort that Jesus made, we're really following after him, even if things around us are difficult and we see bad things happening around us or to us, Jesus is still there and overcomes. And then we talked about these last images of some pictures where we looked at kind of the new heaven and the new earth that is envisioned in Revelation. And we had students create for themselves some images. You saw of these images, especially from looking back to the book of Isaiah, where, you know, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the kids will, and a child will lead them, and a child will play by the snake's hole, and that kind of thing. Snakes were popular in the clay figures, I will say. You can see that live 3D right over here. You can take a look at that after the service today. And kids, if you made one of those and want to take it home, you can do that after the service today. And that was their scene of that picture. And then we had also talked about the wedding feast of the Lamb and how the bride, the church, and Jesus would be reunited. And so we had a group of cake bosses and wedding planners make a cake, decorate a cake that would represent that wedding cake. And that's over there. You can take a look at that. And that was great fun. Lots of glitter going on. And then finally, we pictured the new Jerusalem coming down from the sky and all the kind of the architectural design plans that were described in Revelation. And so we had a group, it ended up being a group of boys on that one, who were constructing a city with a river in the middle and walls around it and all kinds of interesting parts of that city. And so it was just, I think, a hands-on and pretty interesting way that the students were engaged in what we were doing, and understanding that this weirdest book of the Bible actually can have something of hope and encouragement to say to all of us. So that was a little bit of how we talked about the book of Revelation. And you might be thinking, well, gee, that looks kind of fun. And if that's the case for you and you want to join us in children's ministry, here's my shameless plug. Opportunities are abundant for nursery and preschool and elementary school. See me afterwards or fill out a blue form. But seriously, we do have a great time in just trying to find interesting ways to engage students in the story of God and what God is up to in our world. Also during this last month, during that series, we learned a song together, and Alfia has really been helping us with that in teaching us a little bit about worship and then engaging elementary and preschoolers at part of the time in singing a song that really comes out of the book of Revelation, and at least based on that. And so in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see a lot of these words. So while I read this, I'm going to ask very quietly, if you're in preschool or elementary school, why don't you just quietly kind of come on up? And remember, you're not going to sing like it's not all you doing this big group performance. But you're going to, Chuck and the band are going to lead us. The younger people are going to lead us. We're all going to be singing this song in a moment. But here's what has come. So, kids, come on out. You can walk this way. Come to me, come to me. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 4. Each of the four living creatures had wings. You can see some of the pictures of what that actually looked like on the wall. Each creature was covered all over with eyes, even under the wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God who rules over all. He was and he is and he will come. The living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. At the same time, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns in front of the throne. They say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You are worthy because you created all things. They were created and they exist. That is why you planned it." So I know we're all going to sing together from that, and you guys are going to sing with us. Yeah? Awesome.